Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy on March 28th of 2020. I'm Michael.
I'm Tom.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Tom.
Sorry. I botched our first introduction, which was cut. So we started again, and then because I forgot I was supposed to say that, you said that, and let's get okay. I guess we should get into it before we botch this one, also. Okay. So. There's no My Hero Academia of this or for the next 2 weeks, I think.
Which makes me wonder, like, why are they showing the exact same episodes over again? Wouldn't it be more interesting if they just, like, put in three episodes from a different season, you know, except the ones we just saw?
My guess is that, like, is if someone is tuning in for the first time, it would, if you've already seen the stuff, you probably wouldn't be watching. So you might as well, a bunch of TPL will be watching for the first time. We might as well just have the episodes that will lead into the actual new episode. So if they stick around, they'll, like, you know, understand what's going on.
I see your point.
All right. So let's begin with Paranoid Agent Episode 5. I think you might want to cover this one.
Yeah, so they finally captured Little Slugger, and the two detectives are questioning him, and he said, and Little Slugger says he all did it all because he's in a video game trying to defeat such an enemy and do some other stuff. And then all of a sudden, the world turns into the video game. And to make it better, one of the detectives is playing along with it the whole time. And while the other one is the straight man who is completely confused by the situation and totally angry over it. And it just keeps going on and on and on with this crazy alternate video game world. And it just gets funnier every scene that goes along. It is just hilarious. And yes, it made no sense at all, but I don't think I've ever laughed that much over a Toonami show before.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. And at the end, after he, like, goes through everything and, like, rescues a princess or whatever, doesn't, like, a monster show up and kill him and he has to reset?
Yeah, game over. That was hilarious. I mean...
Yeah, it's so weird because, like you said, initially when you see, like, the detective guys there, I was thinking, so wait, have they been transported into it? But then you, like, see the real world and you see that part is all part of his imagination still, which means this kid has an imagination. I would say as complex, but it seems more complex than that kid at the end of the show Saint Elsewhere. I think I mentioned that before. Do you know what happened there?
Yeah, I heard of that. Something happened inside a snow globe or something.
The whole series was just the imagination of this kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've never seen the show. I just heard about that, and I'm just like, that's got to be the dumbest ending I've ever heard of, ever. Because from my understanding, like, this wasn't, like, a wacky comedy show or something. This wasn't like, Newhart, which did basically the same joke, but it was a comedy series, so it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And especially because, well, the ending of Newhart is he gets, like, hit by something and falls unconscious, and then he wakes up, and it turns out the whole thing was a dream of that, because the guy who played, on Newhart. He previously was a star of this one called, like, the Newhart Show. And it turns out the whole thing was a dream of his character from that show. So it works there because it tied in with it. Or at least I assume it did. I never saw any either of them. I just saw the final scene and thought, oh, that was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me of this goofy, they had this goofy little thing where they filmed with Bryan Cranston where as he, this supposed alternate ending for Breaking Bad, where his character from Malcolm in the Middle wakes up and it the whole Breaking Bad was just a dream of his, which freaks him out.
Well, Super Mario Brothers 2, that was all a dream too.
Or was it? Okay. So, right. So, Paranoia Agent. Yeah, you kind of covered it. It's just weird and goofy and... Like, I kind of have to just wonder. Maybe this should be the final episode. Because each episode has gotten weirder and weirder. I don't see how you can top this one. Like,
Next episode, no matter what, is going to be disappointing.
Okay. So, so that was Paranoia Agent. It was funny. I didn't find it as funny as you did, but I did find it funny and it was amusing. Especially just a random, like, game over or whatever that was. The funniest thing is that this episode, when you look at it, it didn't actually progress any plots, really. But who cares?
Nope.
Okay. So, let's see. So, Black Clover, episode 118. So, Lumiere, the first Wizard King guy, after Lich has turned into that monster, he fights him. And beats and kills him, and then all of, and you know, so yay, backstory for that opening, which actually, you know, I was a little disappointed because it starts out not with the usual narration at the start. It actually starts with them fighting, and then midway through, the narrator starts saying the lines from the opening narration, but he only like says like the first sentence, and then he never finishes it.
Yeah.
That would have been so cool if it had just, you know, at the end of the fight, he then finished, like, he defeated it and his story became legend or whatever that one was. But I don't think they finished it, and that was kind of disappointing. Okay. So Lumiere gets sealed away while Sekre, who Lumiere calls Secker, which I just assume. Her name is written both in English and Japanese a way that would suggest Sekre, so I don't know if that's just what he refers to her as, or if I've been saying it wrong this whole time, but whatever. She gets turned into a bird for some reason. Like, I actually like the way she actually just kind of gives this deadpan thing. She just says, for some reason, I had been turned into a bird.
Now, I have to break in here. I wonder if her character was inspired by a character from Princess Tutu. Have you ever seen Princess Tutu?
No, unfortunately.
Okay, so there's a character named Rue, who is a raven, a bird, and her human form looks almost exactly like her human form. When she's like in that ballerina type of thing. So I wonder if there was an inspiration for her from that. So,
I have no idea. Let me see. I glanced over. I'm glancing at the Black Clover wiki for a page, and it doesn't say anything about that in the trivia section, but that could just mean that, you know, either the author never explicitly confirmed it, so I don't know. Okay, so then everyone gets together and they team up and they fight the evil monster guy named Zagred, and they seem to beat him, but then he's like, ha, I can just regenerate, and yeah, that's basically it. They have to figure out a way to actually stop that. I thought it was enjoyable, although from what I remember from the manga, the arc gets kind of boring after this point. So I don't know if maybe I wasn't paying. Maybe I'll enjoy it more in the anime. I just remember, oh, I think it was after this point where I started enjoying it less. So we'll see. It's been a while, and there have been some things in the anime I remember liking more than when I in the manga. So yeah. Okay, let's see. And we got JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Golden Wind episode 27. So what happens, so that Dopio guy, who's the alter ego slash split personality of Diavolo, or I'm still a little confused, but that's just what I'm assuming it is, ends up fighting against this other guy who's a bad guy, so who has honestly possibly one of the most broken stand abilities I think we've seen in this series. Because let's see what he can do. One, he can turn himself invisible. That's already really good. Two, he can remove the iron from your body. That's also really powerful. Third, he can then turn that iron into things so he can essentially reform, change it so that the iron switches into a scissors and kills you. Like, this is, like, what is better than this? The only thing, like, maybe Star Platinum when it has its, or the world, you know, because it's super powerful and can stop time. Other than that, what beats this?
Yeah.
And even, that one, like, would it, I think this could beat even that. The only reason it loses is because the guy, Dopio, like, Stan lets him see the future, so he's able to cope for that. But anyway, so we get a big Stan battle, and it turns, and he, and the other guy, Risotto is his name, but it doesn't matter because he dies this episode anyway. Basically, he manages to actually take all the oxygen out of the other guy's, like, blood, so he's about to die, but then the main characters show up and just kill, him, because it turns out Dopio slash Diavolo was, apparently the strategy was to just stall him until the good guys arrived and killed him, and, there was one part I liked, and that's the fact it had established that Lil Bomber had the, like, it can detect people based on their, like, breathing, or by measuring the oxygen. So here saying, ha, you took away the oxygen, so they don't see me at all. They didn't know I was here at all. They just saw, you. So I thought that was a kind of actually cool way of combining the two different, how these different stands had, like, stuff reliant on oxygen. So I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's cool. But then the Risotto guy gets killed, but the main bad guy gets away. Well, a few things. One, this was better than the previous episode, but that doesn't mean much. Second, despite that, I did enjoy it. It just has the major problem of being between two characters I don't know much about and don't really care about. But it still was a fun stand battle, so it entertained me.
Yep. I didn't like it too much. I couldn't figure out whether it was, like, my first problem with it is that I couldn't figure out whether it was a flashback or whether it was happening right now. And I'm still not sure. And then I couldn't figure out which person I was supposed to be cheering for. Like they're all bad guys. And I was like, okay, so yeah. like, okay, so do I want this guy to die or do I not want him to die? Or I was totally confused by that. And yeah, it was a pretty cool sand battle. I will give it that. Like, even though it's really violent and like this show goes overboard on the violence, but it was pretty interesting to watch. I just wonder what's going to happen once the heroes, or quote unquote heroes, get involved. So yeah.
Oh, and the stand. Oh, golly, I can't believe I didn't figure this out. So his stand. Is like metallic, and I'm like, how did I not realize until just now when I'm looking at the episode? Oh, it's Metallica. That was the original. Well, yeah. That was an easy enough fix. I mean, if I had known that it was something, if I had thought about that, I would have noticed it, but. Yeah, that was, this is one where it actually just makes sense. I mean, he's got powers of metal and stuff, so metallic.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Makes a lot more sense than Notorious B.I.G.
Yeah, I just need to, what do you think is the funniest of, when they come up with these alternate names, I sometimes wonder if they're trying to make them like intentionally, unintentionally humorous. If you know what I mean, like, you know, it's, yeah, they're like, it's silly, but they know it is. What do you think is like the silliest, like the goofiest of those? For me, it would have to be how the Grateful Dead became the Thankful Death.
I think I like the one where they changed. I don't know if they made this. Actually, no, forget that. They didn't make a change. Maybe that Oingo Boingo thing.
Oh, yeah. Well,
remember they changed that?
Yeah, to Enyata Zenyata.
Yeah, the name of a Police album.
Yeah, I'm not sure why one of them is okay, but not the other.
Yeah,
I would think. Well, but the funniest reason for that, though, is because the book he's holding has Oingo Boingo Brothers written on it in English. At least when they did it with the Notorious Big into Notorious Chase, they actually did edit it so it said Notorious Chase. But I guess because it only appeared on screen once, it was much easier to edit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, maybe if it wasn't for the previous episode being so bad, I would be harder on this episode. But I still got enjoyment out of the fight, which was fun. I thought the way it ended was kind of cool. So, I mean, I just hope we get back to having some of the characters that I actually know something about involved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so then we've got Naruto episode 297. So in this one, they're going up, they're fighting up against all the dead guys who got revived by the bad guys. Except they're under the bad guys' control, so they're being forced to fight the heroes. Although apparently, even though it says their bodies are under their control, apparently this does not extend to their mouths because they're doing because they do a whole lot of talking. And like and stuff, which this doesn't like even make. It's weird, especially because if you're controlling their bodies, well, okay, I'm not sure exactly because you would for them to attack effectively, wouldn't they need to have their own skills like there? Like for example, you could take if someone could be a really strong wrestler or whatever, and you could control them, but you know unless they're but they're the ones who have all the experience and stuff. Or does it affect their minds to make them subconsciously attack? Or how does this work? Maybe it was explained in the episodes we didn't see. But but the big part is that Gaara is up against his father, and we basically spend the episode doing this big retcon on this character, this minor character who last showed up like 400 episodes ago and got killed off screen by Orochimaru. about how he really wasn't that bad of a guy, and especially that guy who tried to kill Gaara was, you know, who, like, told Gaara, oh, I've hated you all this time, I was just pretending to be your friend. Actually was Gaara's friend, and that whole thing was an act as part of this convoluted plan to see if it would make him snap or not. Meaning that even when he's just lying there dying, he's keeping character. So, it's just such a, like, why did we devote all this time to just trying to give a redemption retcon to such a minor character who didn't, who, like, I don't think anyone had even thought about during this time.
Yeah.
Like, at least when they did it with Itachi, it was a character that had some importance, and it actually had plot relevance.
Mm-hmm.
Here it's just like a case of just wondering, why bother?
Yeah.
But I'll give it this. This was the most I remembered of any Naruto episode that we've been covering.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the thing. You know, this episode was kind of dumb, but at least it was fun dumb.
Yeah. I remember I was getting tired whenever we watched this one, but I was like, what? Like, why do we need, why all this about some guy who, obviously, I don't remember him because, you know, I stopped watching a long time ago, but it was like, why does Naruto have this obsession with, like, every character needs to be good and be redeemed, like even the most evil characters, like Itachi, end up, oh, they were actually trying to do it for a good purpose, You know what I mean?
It's funny because by complete coincidence, I was listening to this podcast and one of the persons had been talking about how they watched and finished Naruto, and they were just going on this big rant over all the stupid stuff that happened, like, towards the end of the, later on in the series. And he's just, like, talking about how it just does this, like, to give this redemption to all these horrible characters. Like he's saying, like, the Akatsuki, they're all terrible guys, but it turns out that they were, that about half of them were just being manipulated by this other, guy. But then that guy was terrible, but he gets a redemption because it turned out he was being manipulated by this other guy. And that guy gets a redemption because it turned out that there's this other character involved.
Well, now I feel obligated to watch this thing to the conclusion because I got to see how all these players... characters get redemption. Like is, I don't even know who the big bad guy is, but is he even going to get redemption?
Well, if you really want to know, okay, I don't know exactly how this plays out in the anime, because I know there's going to be a bunch more filler and stuff, but okay, so basically we have Madara, the actual Madara is behind all of, like, this stuff. Like, you know, behind, you thought, like, you know, you, like, oh, the, like, who you thought was Madara was actually Obito. But the real Madara is around, and he's behind that. So, he's all super powered up and stuff, and it's, like, almost, and it's like, oh, how are they going to beat them, him, and stuff. And then this other character who, like, was, like, mentioned, I think, briefly sometime within, like, the last 30 chapters, and that was their first time mentioned, shows up and kills him, and then they just, and then that's the final boss for this series.
Wow. How many episodes are we from that, by the way? Like, approximately. Approximately.
Let me think. We're on episode 297. How many episodes are there total? There's... Well, I don't... It's confusing because it says there's 500 episodes, so we're still about 200 away from that. But I think the well, hang on. I think the anime is weird in that. Okay, so I think so. The ending of like the anime, I think in terms of where the manga ended is actually episode 479. Then they had like an extra 21 episodes of just like other stuff. I think there might have been some other weird behind it, but I think that's it. So yeah, we're still a ways away from it. But yeah, it's just a weird thing. And then at the end, because I remember this part at least. So Naruto and Sasuke and Sakura and I think Kakashi is there too end up like working together. They defeat the final boss, and then because we need a final confrontation between Naruto and Sasuke, they fight for no real reason. and then Sasuke like turns good, and everyone's just like, well, you did a lot of terrible things, but it's okay, you're pardoned, have a nice day. But the craziest thing that people have mentioned is the fact, like, they just let Orochimaru go. Like, he gets off scot-free. He doesn't even, like, unlike Sasuke or some of the other villains, he doesn't even, like, have some part where he, like, says, wow, I've been a terrible person this whole time. He, like, doesn't really apologize or anything. He's just like, well, I guess, I assume he stops, like, the really twisted experiments, but he doesn't have any sort of, like, redemption or whatever. He just, like, gets off.
Wow. They just forgot about him?
I mean, he shows up in Boruto, so, and apparently no one has a problem with him anymore. Yeah, but this episode was at least, like, kind of fun in how it was dumb. I hope it stays that way, but I do think there's a lot of kind of dull stuff in this final arc. I don't know exactly how far we are in that still, but, yeah. It's, yeah, it was just kind of funny to listen to this, because I knew a bunch of this, but just to hear, like, this person go on for all this time about all, like, this, like, this sort of stuff that happens that's dumb and stuff was just kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in Boruto, there's, so you know the one-tailed, like, Shushaku, the one who, like, possessed Gaara, except, then he got pulled out of Gaara, which killed Gaara, but then he got brought back to life by this person who used this jutsu that, like, you know, you sacrifice your life and you can save someone. Which was actually a pretty decent moment. It's just kind of funny because they're talking about how in Boruto, because I think the tail beast can, or at least that one can, like, turn themselves, like, all small and stuff, and, you know, and it's just, like, kind of cute, and it's playing around with Naruto's daughter, and the person's on the podcast, they're just talking, and they're saying, just remember, this was the character who, when he was possessing Gaara couldn't actually go to sleep, because if he did, then it would awaken and kill everyone. Naruto is, like, very, like, people just talk about how everyone gets forgiven in Naruto, and it's just kind of, it is kind of true.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be fair, there are some that don't, but there's just a lot of them, and it's just, it's to the point that it's just kind of, like, weird. But that's a lot of stuff to talk about that was not in this episode.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have gone on that much. If just like it was complete coincidence. I was catching up on some old podcasts, and there was this part where someone was just talking about it. It just went on about it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, that is the Toonami stuff. I'm sorry. I am always clearing my throat when I'm doing this. I'm not sure why. I just constantly have to. So, after that, that's the Toonami stuff.
Yep.
Then we'll move on to Shangri-La episode 16. So Miko gets turned into, I don't even know what that is. It's a thing where you're sort of possessed by this person. There was that other person who previously was, and they needed a replacement or something, or I don't know. The point is that happens, but what's her name? I still can't remember. Girl with the alternate colored eyes.
Oh, Mikuni.
Mikuni, okay. She like goes on this like gets everyone to go and rescue Miko, but it doesn't seem to necessarily work until gray-haired glasses lady shows up and manages to get them away. Meanwhile, there are killer plants for some reason.
Yeah.
I mean they explain the reason, and it is in a kind of funny like drawing way, but that was a kind of random plot thing.
Mm-hmm. By the way, that gray haired character's name is Sayako.
Okay, Sayako. So we get that. Takehiko, that was his name, at the end just randomly shows up and is like, I'm gonna kill Kuniko for some reason.
Oh, you forgot about the fact that Kuniko goes to her grandmother and's like, okay, you're exiled. And like, she just like, it's like, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your favorite character didn't show up in this episode.
Yeah, and I noticed.
I know she has a big role coming up here though. So, yeah, I thought it was a pretty good episode, but I can see how it can be confusing, though. Yeah,
I thought I understood it. It's just the plants just seemed such a random development is the thing. But it was enjoyable still, yes. So yeah, that was, it was decent. Let's see. Anything else I wanted to say about it? Oh, I mean, I guess Soldier Guy resigns. I guess that was something.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. We may have a confusion over someone's name. Wait, I'm trying to look up these names because... Yeah, Kunihito is the soldier. The one who, and I told you incorrectly about that. So that the person who went to kill her in the end.
That one was Takehiko. The old guy who was previously the one in charge of I can't actually remember what their organization name was, but the big guy with the beard.
Metal Age?
Yeah, him.
Yeah.
That was the one who shows up. Maybe I should have just referred to him as Big Bearded Guy. Okay, so yeah, it was decent. I do just kind of... I'm still waiting, I guess, for, like, a more clear goal to emerge, because we are getting, because we're about two-thirds in is a problem, and I'm not really seeing where the series is going. I mean, it was entertaining, I just want to know what the ultimate point of this is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does all come together pretty quickly, but...
I mean, I'm sure it is. I just wish it would do it. I just hope it does it soon.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so we've got then Excel World episode 5. Do you want to do this one or?
Yeah. So, the pig guy, I forget his name right now, Haruyuki. Yeah. He's going up against that boyfriend of that other girl or something like that, and they get into a battle, and you have the thing where he loses almost all his energy, but not quite all of it, and then all of a sudden he like finds the corpse of Yuki Hime or something. I didn't understand that, but all of a sudden he believes he can fly, he starts singing that song, I believe I can fly.
And he just needed to think happy thoughts.
Yeah, and all of a sudden now he can fly, and he's the first ever character or something who can fly in the history of the Excel World or something. And he beats that guy, and then Kurohiki Hime seems to have survived. And there was something that happened at the very end, and I don't remember what it was.
Oh, right. At the very end, we have one of the most momentous cliffhangers that has ever been happening in anime. So Kurohiki Hime is talking to Haru, and she says, I'll tell you my real name. It's, that's our cliffhanger.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. And I actually don't know what her real name is because, I haven't been able to find it, so we'll find out next episode. Go ahead.
Maybe it isn't a cliffhanger, and we just don't find out. Because I'm glancing over the synopsis on Wikipedia, the episode, and it says she tells him her real name, although it's censored. So maybe we never do find out.
Really?
We might. Let me take a quick. I'll look around to see if I can find okay.
Her real name is unknown.
Okay, so I guess it isn't a cliffhanger, we just don't find out.
Yeah, so people think she's Kirito's daughter, though. Maybe she's Yui from Sword Art Online. Maybe that's who she is.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at the I'm looking at the at the Excel World Wiki, and it does not say anything about her actual name. So I guess okay. Well, that just makes it kind of lamer that it, because at least it was a weird cliffhanger. But to have that at the end of the episode and not tell, that's something you should have put earlier. Like she says it, and like we just don't hear it, and then they talk about other stuff to show. Okay, you don't hear it yet. Because with this episode, I was thinking, oh, I guess that's the cliffhanger. Kind of a weird cliffhanger, but whatever.
Okay, here's one theory someone put out on Game Facts. Someone said that her real name is related to her nickname, Kurohiki Hime. So maybe it's Yuki, and maybe that means she's that Yuki girl from Sword Art Online.
Is there any indication though that they take place in the same universe?
I don't know. Just everyone likes to think they do. So everyone likes to think they do. So, yeah.
I wonder about that. Let me. I mean, they might. Is there anything? Yeah, I don't know about that. I just did a quick glance, but didn't see anything saying that. I think I remember that at some point. The video game Ghost Trick, I'm pretty sure someone said that it. One of the people like said it takes place in the same world as Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney, although definitely a different country. And it does bring up some stuff because that has like ghosts and stuff, which seems to work a little different because Phoenix Wright actually has spirit channeling, which is it's such a weird thing for a courtroom drama. It's a courtroom drama series, and it has spirit channeling be a major plot point.
Is that the one with the objection meme?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, I like that game series. I've been one. I wonder if the anime is any good. I've heard most people just kind of say, well, it's not as good as the game. So, but yeah, that's where.
Well, I wouldn't write it off because, you know, some things are just better as games, you know.
Here's something actually kind of funny, though. So in the subtitles, now, when Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney was brought over and translated into English, they change a lot of the names of the characters to mostly like sort of English puns and such, because a lot of their names were like joke, were basically gags or whatever that only applied to Japanese. Like there's this there's this character who is like old woman, this grouchy old woman whose last name was like Abba, and the gag here is that Abba-san means grandmother, which like annoys her or something because people like refer to her as that, but that doesn't work in English. So in English they named her Wendy Oldbag.
I don't get it.
Wendy Oldbag, Windy Oldbag.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't get it.
Oh. Well, you know, so. Same thing. It isn't necessarily supposed to jump out at you. It's just kind of a goofy little thing there. But anyway, so the point, that includes, like, the main characters. Because, like, Phoenix Wright, his original name in Japanese was... What was it? Something like something Naruhodo or something. I don't know. So initially when they subbed it in English, they just kept the Japanese names, and then like people complained. So they're like, okay, here's an alternate subtitle like option that keeps all the English names from the games. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not sure where I was going with all of that, but, as is frequent. Let's see. So that was another tangent. So many tangents. All right. So then we finished with Excel World.
No, we just did Excel World.
Yeah, I said we finished with Excel World.
Oh, okay.
Say that Excel World was next? Did I say that wrong?
No. I thought you said we finish with Excel.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So after that we have Overlord.
Mm-hmm.
So Ainz and Narberol, who is a character maybe she was mentioned before this, but I couldn't remember her at all, maybe just because I don't think she's in Isekai Quartet. But so they become adventurers to try to get information. So they go to an adventurers guild place and they end up working with this other group of adventurers and who are on this sort of mission to protect this person. And but then they get attacked, but they beat them. And then there's some other stuff going on with someone who with presumably going to be like the actual villains and stuff. Yeah, I mean, I thought the first episode was kind of interesting, but then the second episode was kind of boring to me.
The first episode, I was like, okay, so now he's okay, trying to get a job and trying to do stuff. But then the second episode, it was like Aang's like hardly even appeared in it, and I'm like, the one reason the biggest hook to the show is trying to figure out what he's going to do with his life now that he's stuck in this new world. So whenever he's just kind of like not even there, and we're just hearing about these characters who we haven't seen yet, and now all of a sudden, like, we're supposed to really care about them. Yeah, it was really weird to me. And yeah, I did not like that episode six very much at all. And I was close to dropping it, though. How many episodes are left in this season?
Let's see. That was up. There's seven more.
Okay, so yeah, I can suffer through the first season.
Okay. So yeah, not that much to really write home about this one, but at least it wasn't Ainz just like beating everything. Well, I mean, there was some of that in the second episode, but
There was.
yeah, I actually was talking to my brother about it, 'cause he said he had seen the first season, and he said, yeah, Aang's being overpowered is a little annoying. There's like maybe one guy in the first season that really gives him a challenge. So, yeah.
Now, so what he needs to do is go up against, crap, I come up with a good joke and I can't think of his name.
Rimuru?
Yeah. That's who he needs to go up against.
Okay, that would be interesting. Or Saitama.
Well, but Saitama isn't an isekai person. Yeah.
Yeah, but he still does fall into the totally overpowered thing.
He kind of didn't even really appear in season two. Like, what the hell was that? Season two of One Punch Man. That was awful.
One Punch Man, yeah, One Punch Man, it's a series. I mean, I liked it, but then I just kind of lost interest. I think its problem is like Saitama, it does have some funny gags, but it doesn't seem to really have enough. But it also wants to have really cool dramatic action. So it's just like, okay, whenever Saitama's around, there's jokes. Although, unfortunately, it's kind of repetitive because it mostly is the same joke over and over. And then when it's other stuff, it's like the jokes aren't there when it's with other characters. There's this relatively new manga called Mashle. I think I mentioned it briefly once before. And it actually seems like it's of reasonable popularity, so it's probably going to stick around for a while. And it's very clearly influenced by One Punch Man. I mean, like, very clearly influenced. A bunch of the humor is the same. The main character looks kind of, it is like clearly done by like the arts, like influenced by the art style. Basically it's this alternate world where everyone has magic except the main character doesn't, but unlike Asta, who just gets like this crazy powerful anti-magic sword, Mashle just works out a crazy ton, so he's insanely powerful and can just punch his way through practically all obstacles, like One Punch Man. But I just liked it more because I just think his sense of humor is better than like One Punch Man. But it'll probably be like 3 years until it gets an anime if it goes on that long. I still did just love the part where this one character is acting really stupid, and Mashle just like gets annoyed and slaps him, and he says, "I wasted calories on you just now. I'll never get them back." Okay.
What? doesn't even make sense.
I know, that's why. It's because it's just such a big, it's because it's such a silly put down. Like, I wasted calories on you. I thought, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it'll be like One Punch Man, and then, like, you know, 10 weeks from now, I'll be like, oh, well, that joke didn't last very long. But, okay, I gotta stop with the tangents. Gotta get back to stuff.
Okay.
So then we're on, Saga of Tanya the Evil, episodes 5 and, 6? Right. So Tanya ends up getting put in charge of that, like, battalion, so they get, so, you know, does some very cruel training to the, people. Then they end up, going up against, Dakia, I think they say, which is, I think, supposed to be a counterpart to Romania, who they, like, defeat super easily, because, I mean, they have magic and the other guys don't. It's actually kind of funny because Tanya keeps, like, talking about they don't understand modern warfare and stuff. And I'm thinking, but this isn't modern warfare. It's magic.
Yeah.
Like, and if, like, magic is around, why don't they have magic people? Or, I don't know. But the point is, they beat that pretty easily. That, there's actually a kind of a funny part where they want to attack some, like, weapons facility, but there's like civilians, and they're, like, supposed to, by international law, notify them. So Tanya, like, just, like, warns them, but does it in, like, this crazy little kid voice, so none of them take it seriously.
Yeah.
Thus technically fulfilling the law. Let's see. So then after that, they go up against some other people and Tanya beats them. And they all beat them pretty easily. It's very one-sided battles, really.
Yeah.
And that's the episode, basically. Oh, Being X does show up briefly again.
Yeah, Being X is my favorite character.
Oh, really?
In this series, I mean, there's no real, there's no one to cheer for. They're all evil. This is Nazi Germany here, or is this pre-Nazi Germany?
This is supposed to take place. This is like taking. This is basically the alternate World War One.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, yeah, none of the I don't want any of these people to win. So. I don't care if they die. I'm rooting for Being X to keep on screwing with Tanya.
Yeah. See, what was interesting, what I was thinking about, actually, because I enjoy these a lot more than Overlord, but I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, yeah, but, I mean, ultimately, when you get down to it, Tanya just, like, has these overwhelming victories that are, like, practically a joke. Pretty much all of her fights have been, like, that in this, series. So why is it okay here, whereas it's kind of annoying there? And I was thinking the main there's two the main thing, though, is the fact that even if she's, like, winning all these things on the battle, like, outside of the battle, nothing ever seems to work right for her.
Yeah, I think that's it. And it's kind of like, it's for me, the reason I like it is because, well, I don't want her to win. So whenever she keeps on winning, then it keeps fueling this fire in me that I just want to see her get her comeuppance, and she just keeps on winning. So it's like, okay, it's going to happen at some point. And so, it's like a reverse type of thing with me.
Yeah. One thing I did want to mention, though, so something that, well, one thing that bugs me a little is, so I found out, actually, that... So you remember in the first episode, or maybe you don't remember because it was kind of boring, there's that part where those guys disobey orders, so she just sends them off, and then they get killed, and she's like, ah, that was my plan, ha ha ha. Well, apparently that was original to the anime and not in the light novels. I mean, in the original light novels, she still, like, sent them off, and they got killed, and she was just like, whatever, but she wasn't intentionally trying to kill them off. And the reason I think it would have been better that way is because the way the anime played it, Victoria's behavior in these episodes, she's like the brown-haired girl, doesn't make any sense because she's shown earlier to be completely terrified of Tanya because of that. But then here she's just, like, you know, portrayed as not actually realizing, like, how ruthless Tanya is. And I'm just like, well, that would have made... If they hadn't included that detail, her behavior would make total sense here. But because they added that, it's just kind of confusing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just figured I might as well mention that. I don't know if you were, like, wondering about that yourself, but...
I forgot about it. So.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. So finally, we're on Isekai Quartet episodes 7 and 8. So everyone, let's see. So they end up, like, deciding, we're going to go on a field trip to the beach. Yay, beach episode.
Swimsuit episode. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're doing that, and they're trying to, you know, well, the goal is to try to make everyone get along and such. Honestly, I can't even really remember that much about the first episode of this one.
Yeah, I was just going to say you could sum these two episodes up with our catchphrase. So
yeah, but I mean, it's like there's not really a plot to the show.
Yeah, but like, yeah.
Well, it's the first one I don't remember so much. The second one I actually remember mostly, though, because of that scene where Albedo and Shaltier meet Aqua and Kazama when they're, like, in the mall. And that whole scene was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the part where... just the part where, you know, Shaltier is, like, saying, well... Albedo, she's a succubus, but she's, when she, like, and is, like, you know, trying to make fun of her for that, despite her apparently being a virgin, I guess, which she protests is just because she's saving herself for Ainz. But then, like, Aqua, like, gives this big speech, well, that's not fair, you shouldn't make fun of people for that stuff, and then she goes on that rant about Eris, patting her bra and talking about how much she hates people who do that, and how they should feel ashamed, and then Shaltier gets just depressed. Which, it is, I'm so glad we did watch Overlord, because that joke would not have hit as well if we hadn't watched that, because... That was like she got accused of that in Overlord, and while if I hadn't seen that, I could have seen this and figured, oh, that must have been something from Overlord, but it wouldn't have been the same joke to me. So I liked the way it worked. So seeing that did make me get that joke a lot better. Actually, a bunch of stuff in this episode was funnier as a result of that. So yeah. I do find it a little odd, though, that I feel like Isekai Quartet, this wacky, silly comedy, has given more characterization to Albedo than the actual original Overlord show has by this point.
Yeah, yeah, a lot more. Yeah. My battery's dying, so we've got very little time left to finish this episode. So,
okay.
Sorry.
Okay, yeah, I'll just wrap it up. So that's Isekai Quartet. We'll finish with, we're done with that then. Yeah. I guess we can give our top threes. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, third place is going to be Tanya the Evil. Second place is going to be Excel World. And number one in the ranking. Paranoia Agent. Yes, Paranoia Agent. There you go.
Yeah, that one did not surprise me. Okay, so for me, It's anno- this is one of those ones that's kind of annoying because I'm like, because I see Black Clover and I liked it, but I'm like, ooh, do I put top three? Yes, I will put top three for that. I think I'll put in, do I want to put that? I'll put in Isekai Quartet in, I mean, I feel like, yeah, screw it. We'll go Black Clover, then Isekai Quartet, then Saga of Tanya the Evil.
Okay.
I need to stop, like, waiting until the last minute to finish watching these things. It's like, I always finish, have, like, one show just at the end, so I can't make a top three list, but then I finish it just before we start recording, and I have to suddenly ad-lib it. Okay. So, this has been Toonami Therapy. You can find our previous episodes at toonamitherapy.podbean.com. Anything else quick you wanted to add before we hold off then?
No, I don't have anything else to add this episode. And yeah, that's it.
Okay. Well, we'll see you next week then.
Bye.